Welcome to the Monochrome Podcast, episode 35. Whether you are joining us for the very first time or you've been with us for the entire season so far, welcome. We're so grateful to have you here and to have you be part of the SALT community. We love you guys and we love being able to talk with you and ask questions that maybe we don't have the answers to, but you and your teams can talk about as well together. And we are here really to serve the production teams out there, the creatives, the designers, those of you serving in your local church. And again, we're not here with all the answers, but we're here to ask some great questions and have some fun conversations. But I am here with my co-host for today, JT. Welcome, What's JT. Up?
Thank you.
Can you tell me, we're in summer, I feel like, or, you know, still entering the summer season, but it's summer. What is your favorite thing to do over the summer?
Yes, you always ask me a question I'm not ready for.
I don't want to prepare you.
Or at least
I want
lately
it to be.
You have been.
No, yeah, I want it to be a good, transparent, raw answer.
So last year, I think you asked me this, and I said jet skiing, which is still up there, one of my favorite things to do. But lately,
see, you were so ready for this.
Yes, lately Bailey and I have been going to the park, and just walking around, and she just loves being outside. She loves seeing the ducks and the geese, and saying hi to people. So That's a pretty top activity these days. That's a good time. It's hard to beat that. So,
no, that's fantastic. I love that. Well, before we really dive into today's segments, all of our discussions and topics for today, I want to give our listeners two things. Number one, make sure to join us next week. Jason Stafford is going to be our guest on the podcast, and our team has been talking about the interview that we've done with him for a little while now, or not even the interview, but the conversations we've been having with him as a team. And he is, you know, coming from the Christian films world. He's actually coming from other films outside of what we would typically call that Christian production world. But he just has so many interesting and insightful things. And as we all know, Christian production in the film and TV industry has just come so far. It's been leaps and bounds since when I know I was younger. And it's so exciting to see what we are producing today, you know, starting to lead the charge in some creative ways. So do not miss that conversation with Jason. That episode is releasing next week. Secondly, we really need you guys as our community to help us make this podcast what you want it to be and what is most helpful to you. So if you go to our show notes, there is going to be a link for a podcast feedback form. And we want to hear, what are segments that are helpful to you? What would you love to hear more about? What kind of guests do you want to hear on the podcast or, you know, want us to have conversations with? You guys, we're doing this for you. So please be just honest and transparent. What can we do to make this better? And of course, we do not want to waste your time. So there is some SALT swag involved for some lucky winners who fill out that feedback form. You can get some SALT swag. So just want to throw out those little announcements, share that news before we dive in. But let's dive in. JT, you've got such an important thing to talk about because this is coming up for churches. Father's Day.
Yes.
Let's talk about it.
Father's Day, when this comes out, I believe is this week. So if you haven't started thinking about how you're going to handle that,
hopefully you're on it.
Yeah, you might be a little late, but I wanted to throw out a couple ideas that maybe would help you enhance what you already have planned or maybe help you in the future. And so we just had Mother's Day a couple weeks ago for us, and so this is another kind of big weekend, and it can kind of be an interesting one. So I just have 10 quick tips, and if you want to read through more detail, there'll be a link in the show notes to this, but just kind of 10 quick ideas to go through. So one is to commission the dads. Take 2 to 3 minutes during your service to pray over the dads in the room. This can be really impactful. Dads always need prayer, and so that's a great way, kind of easy thing to do that doesn't require a lot of resources or planning. Create a dad den lobby experience. So this one's a little
dad
more involved.
Den. Love that.
Yes, but have, you know, some themed lounge stuff, chairs, you know, maybe snacks, sports highlights if you're into that. We're in, I'm in Knoxville, so UT is like, you know, there's like Jesus family and then UT. so, you know, maybe you have some of that. You could have some retro dad music playing. So just have some fun. Let dads have some camaraderie before or after service.
Real quick, retro dad music. I feel like the dads today, that would be like 2000s punk pop, right? Retro maybe. Dad music.
It's, yeah.
All American yeah. Rejects.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe it's.
Or Newsboys breakfast song.
Yeah. Yeah. I did not listen to any of those growing up. I listened to my dad's music growing up. So it was like.
Okay. Okay.
You know, all the old ELO and Kansas and.
Yeah.
Like very classic rock. But, yeah. You know, maybe.
The grandpa music is allowed too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So whatever that looks like for your people, you know. Mm-hmm. The only rule I'll have is no country music. So that's my stipulation.
You wouldn't know Salt is Nashville based, by the way. We're all like, just no country music.
I do not like country music at all, but that's just me. There's a hot take thrown in there.
Yeah, well. There's a hot take.
Okay, another one is give a thoughtful, affordable gift. Maybe a $5 local coffee shop gift card, a bag of beef jerky that says thanks for being tough, tender, and full of flavor. So
awesome.
there's some fun things you can do to give gifts to your dad or to the dads in the room to say, you know, just thanks for being involved and being in church and being part of the community. Use the power of storytelling. So this is a good one. The week before or maybe this week leading up or maybe that week for social media, record kids in student ministry talking about their dads, what they love about them, their favorite memory, things like that. And then that's something you could share with them. You could also let them write a letter to their dad, something, you know, encourage them to like write a letter of encouragement. And then it's something they can give to them when they pick them up from school or daycare or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You can plan a father focused worship set. So this one I'm a little on the fence on as a worship leader because it could be kind of cheesy, but also like good father, run to the father, the blessing.
Classic.
Whenever I'm leading the blessing and my family's in the room, it hits different. So,
That's good to hear from a father playing the music that song hits different for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you know, that could be something you could do. The last three are host of fathers and families hang out after church. Who doesn't love a potluck? Yeah. So have a little grill out cornhole thing after church. You could preach a sermon that equips and encourages fathers. So that's a good thing to do. Father's
Real quick,
testimony.
Hot take. Should we ask the dads to grill or not to grill? I feel like some dads would love to show off their grill skills at church.
Yeah,
and other dads
a couple
are like,
dads grill.
It's Father's Day.
Yeah. I don't think you have everyone grill because, frankly, not everyone knows how to cook a good steak. So
that's good.
Just because you're a dad
out there burning
the
hot dogs.
Every dad thinks they know how to cook a good steak, but there are a select few who are actually gifted in that area.
Yeah.
But anyway, another hot take. Lots
another
of hot,
hot
takes.
Take.
Feature dad's testimony. So this can be really good. Dads can kind of, you know, we can be a little rougher, tougher, a little less open to sharing what we're dealing with and going through. And so having, you know, another dad who shares about, you know, their life and what they've gone through and maybe helps connect with, you know, a father in the room who wouldn't have been connected with before. And then also just again a reminder, we talked about this with Mother's Day, but some people don't have good relationships with their dads. Some people's dads are passed away. Some people didn't know their dad or were adopted. And so you know, however you honor dads, make sure to also honor people who maybe don't view fathers as always a great, you know, reflection of the love of Christ. And so making sure to point people back to that is important. But anyway, those are just some fun little thoughts on how to make Father's Day special. So if you want to check those out, go to the link in the show notes. Or if you have ideas that you want to share, feel free to email us. We're always open to hearing from you guys.
Yeah.
So
put it on that podcast feedback form.
That's right. That's right. There you go.
We'll take that too.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And get free swag.
That's right. Oh, that's great. So many good ideas for Father's Day.
We talk a lot about Salt coming up here in October, but the day before Salt, October 7th, I want to tell you about the Worship Classic put on by Amplio Systems. It is going to be a super fun golfing event. It's totally free. So if you're coming to Salt, or if you're not planning on coming to Salt, you should still sign up for the Worship Classic and then come to Salt. Come golf with us. Come hang out. Amplio Systems is a great partner. They're a partner for this season of the podcast, and they are not just there to install gear at your church. They are leaders who've been in the trenches. They've all served in churches, and they know the pressure of Sundays and believe that your AV systems should support your ministry and not distract from it. That's why they work with churches from start to finish, designing future-proof, volunteer-friendly systems that help you and your people encounter Jesus each and every week. So if you want to learn more about the Worship Classic or Amplio systems, go check out the links in the show notes.
All right. We are in a season where we know churches do their budgets at different times of the year. So my little staff meeting moment today, I want to talk about budgets. I just have been talking with churches who
everyone's
are wrapping up.
Favorite.
Right? Everyone's favorite. This is the thing like everyone wants, like needs that leadership guidance on sometimes, but no one wants to talk about it.
Yeah.
But I've been talking to churches who are wrapping up their budgets here at the end of May, early June. We know that a lot of churches also wait till July to like make their budgets for the new year. And some people are right at the end of the calendar year and do it with, you know, December into January. But wherever your budgeting time falls, because again, every church is different, wherever yours fall, I want to just give some little reminders because we've never really talked about this before. And I feel like it's very important. And sometimes churches need little check-ins. Now, this is specifically for, you know, helping your departments and your team's budget and things that will help them throughout the year. So number one, and before I dive in, I just want to say credentials wise, I'm getting these tips and tricks from a guy that I know that does the accounting at their church, helps handle the budgets and approves the budgets in their church. And he was a controller of a company for like many, many years, 40 some years. So it's coming from not just me speculating. I want to say this is coming from credentialed sources of tips for your church budgets. But number one, be transparent and very forward with your team about where you're at with offering and giving. Now, this seems obvious, but I think that churches think often like, are we relaying this message and are we being transparent with our congregation? But church teams get so busy, sometimes they might forget to really dive in and look at that. So plan a staff meeting, plan one-on-ones with your team leaders who are creating those budgets to look over where you're at for offering, for giving. That way they have a very good comprehensive understanding of what you as a leader understand is the health or the state of your giving and offering. That will help them also be bought into your vision and your insight when it comes time for them to create their budget. And, you know, just understanding will be there. So that's the first one. Be transparent about offering and giving specifically with that budget team member. Number two, be transparent with what departments take priority. I had never even thought of this. I've never been on the budgeting side of working at a church. I've just been in other staff areas, but I've never had to create a budget. But be very forthright with if technology breaks in the, you know, worship center, or, you know, a switcher goes out or a light, you know, some key lights go out, is money going to emergency be there to fix it? Or, you know, if a bathroom plumbing goes out and floods, like, is money going there first? And does that detract from other department budgets? Or do you have an emergency, you know, account set aside for that? That kind of thing. Just be very open with your teams, every team leader, of if theirs will be detracted from if there's an emergency or something comes up, or if there is going to be extra dollars to allocate, what departments get those dollars first. So
yeah,
that transparency
that's a great
is
point.
Going to be key.
And mm-hmm. that just to divulge a little bit on that, I was talking to a church leader a couple weeks ago about those different things. And he was like, man, it's so hard because a lot of times budget, mm-hmm. like for us, we will associate more budget to things that bring in more dollars because we're a for-profit organization. Church is different because it's they're not really selling. They're not selling a product or not. And so it's hard to figure out like what does take priority because, you know, looking at it from a business standpoint, Sunday morning is where like that's where a lot of your budget dollars are going to go, and they should go there because that's where congregants, your majority group is there. That's why, you know, people are motivated to give, and that's where people get saved and hear the word. And so that ministry is going to take a big chunk, you know, compared to oftentimes student ministries usually take a hit, or production will take a hit compared to, you know, maybe the pastoral staff, or you know, that you may not have the gear you need, and but we're getting a new pulpit. And so it can be frustrating to like navigate, well, what's really like providing value? And so if you're like in one of those ministries that's not getting prioritized, it's important to, I was talking to someone else anyway. He was talking about they were part of a benevolence ministry. And he was at a conference and this guy told him like, benevolence ministry is the most important ministry in the church. And the guy was like, well, he used to be a children's pastor. And he was like, well, I think children's ministry is the most important. He said, if you don't believe that about what area of ministry you're in the wrong ministry. And he was like, whoa, okay, I need to go back to children's ministry. But anyway, it was just like, everyone's going to believe that their area of ministry is the most important, and they should, and that's healthy.
And that's great. Yeah, that's healthy.
And so as you come to the budget conversation, be thinking, how does my ministry add value to the church and ultimately bring people in to connect with the church on a deeper level that leads to them tithing and giving. And so you don't want to think of it too transactionally, but do think of it as like, how do I contribute to that? And that will help you frame your own budget, you know, how you allocate the budget you do have, and to advocate for more, you know, depending on how, you know, you feel you bring value to the church. So
definitely. Anyway, and I don't want to deep dive into this, but that made me think, like, it's so easy when the dollars come up and the money conversations happen for team leaders and the people making the budgets being told where they have to cut or where they can have more dollars. You know, it's easy to place value on yourself or your team based on how much money the church approves. And that I can only imagine, because I haven't been part of that at a church, that process, but you know, that's a moment for a heart check of like, hey, does my value really come down to the dollars I'm given in my budget, or is my value bigger than that? And so as a leader, having those discussions with those department leads, just remember to maybe bring that up. Like, hey, you are so valuable, but you know, the dollars don't dictate your value here.
Yeah.
You know? Those conversations are very helpful.
I would say too, and this is maybe another hot take, but the church, Big C Church as a whole, is not known for compensating people well. So if you're sitting with your pastor while you're listening to this, just kind of, you know, don't say anything. Look eyes forward, you know.
But, or give each other the knowing nod.
like that's not a secret. And if that seems like it's supposed to be a secret in your church, maybe you have bigger issues. But anyway, so I would encourage you, if you're someone who's in charge of the budget, make sure you prioritize your people, man. Like gear, buildings are cool, all of that's great, but man, like, no investment in a building or gear is going to come back more than investing well in your staff and your people. And if they're well taken care of, they will bend over backwards.
They'll make it happen with the gear and the stuff that they have.
And God's going to bless that way more than building some big building. And so that can be kind of like hard for people to hear, because you know, people don't want to pay people more, or they're doing the work they're doing now for what they're getting paid. But, you know, ministry is people. It's not buildings. It's not gear. And that includes your staff. So,
anyway. And it's interesting you say that. On the flip side, I have seen church staffers, production people. This is one example that I know where they were offered a raise, or they were offered a little bit more compensation. And they said, I would rather spend that on equipment. Because to them, that made them feel valued, was to get that equipment instead. And you know, don't expect that. Point. That might not happen. I just know some people who have done that, that said, it means so much that the church decided to offer that. And that makes them feel valued and loved and appreciated in their role. But then they decided to turn it back and put it towards equipment or new stuff there. But
that's a very personal choice.
Yeah, it is a personal decision. But
I probably wouldn't if it were me, but that's me, you know.
Well, another great thing to do, hopefully, and I'm not going to dive into this, but hopefully your church has a way of keeping people accountable to how they're using church funds, credit cards, all of that. Yeah. But I would say be transparent with where each department is in their monthly spending. Again, I'm not sure what your guys is. Every church is different, what the process might be. But when they're turning in receipts or they're filling out their monthly statements, you know, make sure to maybe give them a reminder of, all right, here's where you're at in your budget. And not just, oh, hey, you've spent this much out of this much of your budget, but hey, you're getting kind of in the orange zone. You know, you're 75% of your budget is spent and we're only 6 months into the year. Like, just want to make sure that lines up with your calendar of events,
Christmas,
or your
is
needs,
still
you know, that kind of thing. Yes, Christmas is still coming. But give those monthly reminders, monthly check-ins of, you know, also the flip side, if you have that money budgeted, It's, hey, you've got a lot of money left to spend. Just want to make sure, like, you're planning to save it towards the end of the year, or do you need to be spending more now to keep it, you know, flowing well throughout the year? But those check-ins are super helpful for staff who maybe, as you all know, some people will be really diligent with their receipts and tracking spending and all of that. You'll have spenders and savers on your staff as well. But giving them those little check-ins will definitely help them throughout the year to spend wisely and plan.
Not to go full Dave Ramsey either, but similarly to how
another
you should
hot take of the day.
Managing your own personal budget.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't plan where your budget's going to go, you'll either end up maybe not using it, which is, you know, you maybe miss some opportunities to do things that you could have done.
Yeah.
But then two, you'll maybe end up spending it in ways you didn't really want to spend it. And so,
very true.
Be intentional about that planning process.
Yep. All right. My last point, and it's not really a point, it's more of a piece of advice. If people are submitting budgets that come in too high, be sensitive, knowing, again, that a lot of people place their value here. It's how they're planning their success for the year based on sometimes how much they're allowed to have in their budget. If you have to go back to someone on your team and say, that is too high, or you have tripled your budget from last year, that's impossible. Yeah, feel free to say those things. We do have to be very blunt and often honest with our teams when they budget too high. But come with creative solutions as well. And I would love for our team to create some resource of creative ways to help people stay under budget or stay in budget or cut their budgets if need be. But I've actually heard, contrary to what JT said earlier, sorry, JT, I have heard of a lot more churches trying to treat their staff, their volunteers better, trying to find ways to compensate or show appreciation better, which is huge. That's awesome if we're kind of going that direction as the Big C Church. That's fantastic. But if a department's budget is coming in too high because they're trying to do, you know, some extras for their team members, help them come up with creative solutions. One example I know of was the children's ministry. Their nursery was part of that, and they wanted to be able to give some compensation or like a really nice gift card to every volunteer who worked in the nursery for every holiday. So, you know, that added up in their spending. It did put them over budget. And so instead of, you know, well, here's a gift card, a bigger gift card for every single holiday someone might work, it was, how do we combine this, you know, to bring the budget down? Maybe it's still a very much larger gift card than what we've done in the past, but you know, we do it once a year, but it's a higher amount. So it kept it a little under budget from like every single holiday being able to give it out, but treated all the volunteers just with a bigger gift at the end of the year. So there are definitely creative solutions. I don't even feel like that one's that creative. It's just an alternative, but there are definitely creative solutions. If you have to go to your team and say, we've got to cut, we've got to slim down, your budget's over budget for what we told you you could have this year, you know, help them find alternatives. That is more than just money related, that's relational. And that as a team and a staff will make you stronger, that you're helping each other problem solve and figure out ways to reach a goal that they might have while sticking with the dollars that you have to hold them to. So that's my little staff meeting moment and my budgeting advice. Hopefully it'll be helpful for some of you. And we'd love to hear your feedback. Again, fill out that feedback form because this is a new area for us to talk about and explore, but we know it's super practical. And a lot of you are looking for more of that leadership kind of topics for us to discuss.
Yes. So, yeah. Speaking of budgets and saving money.
Ooh, yes.
You need to register for SALT right now. So
it will be good for your budget.
It will be good for your budget. The longer you wait, the more you end up having to pay. And if you're just bringing one or two people, maybe it doesn't make that big of a difference. But if you're bringing your whole team, which we certainly hope you are, it can add up pretty quickly. So register early before the next price increase. Use the code MONOCHROME, which you only get if you listen or watch this podcast. You get $20 off your tickets. And then two, not only do you want to register early to save money, but you want to register early so you can get into the courses and classes that you want to. So we have sold out of our tech tour, which is a premium and a premium plus option, which it's going to be at the Belonging Co. It's going to be awesome, but we're out. We don't have any space for that.
I think we've sold out of this the last like 3 years in a row. And we used to do like two different churches, two different buses. We tried that, you know, a couple of years, but this is a hot one. This is, everyone loves the tech tour. So this is a great reason to buy tickets early.
So that one's gone. And I know we're talking about maybe finding ways to expand that. But if you don't register early, those spots run out. We're also out of the Creative Process Masterclass with Passion. Their creative team is coming. And so if you wanted to listen to them, you might be out of luck. And so we also have three ticket types. Our most, premium plus ticket type with swag bag and behind the scenes tour and all this stuff. We only have 12 of those left.
Yeah.
So very limited space there.
Reserve seating at front of house.
Yeah, reserve seating,
front of stage,
all kinds of.
So many good things.
Yeah, discounts at the store, all kinds of cool stuff. So
that's our VIP ticket, that premium plus ticket. I'm just reiterating because, again, 12 left, JT said. That is not very many.
Yeah, so you do not want to miss out on those really cool perks that you can get with those ticket types. So I would encourage you to go register early. Don't wait. But yes. What's next, Caitlin?
Oh my gosh, JT. We had an awesome conversation with Sarah Benibo. She is a singer, songwriter, worship leader. She was part of the gospel trio for many years. But I'm not going to give all of her credentials and what she's going to talk about because you're about to hear it. But I just want to say she did a workshop at SALT that was packed out. And I'm not talking standing room only. Like, no, there was no standing room left. That is how full her workshop was. And again, I don't want to spoil anything. Let's take a listen. She's an amazing woman, has some amazing insights about worship and worship leading. Keith got to give her an interview.
All right. Well, Sarah, we are so happy to have you here at SALT.
Thank you.
I'm not just saying that. Really excited to meet you. And
thank you.
I've heard so many great things about you. You're a celebrated singer, songwriter, worship leader.
Yeah.
You spent 18 years in the gospel trio.
Hey,
God Chosen.
You did some research.
I did a little bit of research.
That is
okay.
True.
And so further into that research, I got on your Instagram just to find out more about you.
Okay.
And what struck me was that I didn't see just a ton of clips of Sarah's best solos.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Even though that would be great content. But what I saw was a wealth of biblical wisdom. Yeah. That you put out there. And so I thought that has to say something about who Sarah Benibo is as a worship leader. And so maybe you could go into a little bit about how does biblical truth inform you as a worship pastor at your church, Embassy City?
Wow, that is a really good question. Biblical truth, how does it inform me? I think I started off as just what you described, someone that loved to sing. I love music. I love art and the creative process. I love to perform. I love to be on a platform, even though I'm quite introverted myself.
Yes.
If you put me on a platform, I feel at home. But that only lasts for so long. And I noticed that in my younger days in that group called God's Chosen, that these songs are good, but if they're not rooted in truth, like real truth that lasts,
yes.
In the middle of the night when there's no band, there's no worship leader telling you to lift your hands, what is actually going to keep people grounded? And I realized that is going to be the word of God, the unfailing, eternal gospel of Jesus Christ. And so then it was like, wow, maybe I can kind of combine these two spaces and to really empower my singing to be backed up by the word. And so then I just started falling in love. I fell in love with the scripture. There's so much in there. And a lot of the songs that we sing are Bible-based.
Right.
Some of them even come literally out of the Bible, word for word. And I did not know that until I started reading and seeing the context of these biblical truths and the people behind the stories. And I just couldn't close the book. So now I'm just like a Bible-loving, singing girl.
Love it. Love it. You're like reading the Bible. You're like, oh, that's where that comes from.
No, truly.
Or that's what that means.
Yeah, that's what that means. Now I get it. Mm-hmm. So with the context of who God is, the chosen people of God being Israel, of course, and then us being engrafted as Gentiles.
Yeah.
What? So when you're singing songs like, my chains are gone, I've been set free. It's like, oh, I was actually a prisoner of sin and now I am free. It brings a new depth and a weight to my singing that I did not have before.
Awesome.
So
I love that. Feel free to sing as much as you want to sing, by the way, because that was incredible.
I love to sing.
All right, so second question. This one kind of falls in line with your workshop a little bit.
Oh, good.
So you're passionate about worship leading.
Yes.
But not just that act of getting in front of God's people and leading the church.
Uh-huh.
You have a heart
I
for
do.
The people that you serve with on
I
that
do.
Stage.
Yes.
And so we talked about this a little bit when we met earlier this year about some of the things that you do to invest in your team. What kind of emphasis do you put on discipleship and investment in your team? And maybe give us some examples of the ways that that kind of looks practically.
Oh my gosh, great question. I am a huge advocate of relationship building, huge. Because we are a church, so I represent the body of Christ at large, yes, but also the small C church, the local assembly that I represent, Embassy City. We are not a recording, touring artist. Where music really is number one. We are actually a church where community and relationship and conversation should actually be number one, and then the art form comes second.
Yeah.
So in order to actually like implement that, then I have to actually give away some time.
Yeah.
And that has been my biggest challenge, but also the greatest gift, that the time that we spend once a week in rehearsal, we spend probably about a half of that time, which means like two Wednesdays a month, not singing at all. But
wow.
Actually having conversation with each other. So
yeah.
For instance, we have like a something that I call Worship Connect, where every single person on my worship team, whether you're scheduled to sing that Sunday or not, you'll come together and we talk about the theology of worship, and then we talk to each other about how that applies to our actual lives.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll split up in small groups to ask each other, how are you? No, really.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the quick answer, but truly, how are you? So that we can start to build relationships, and it's not just about the Sunday morning 30-minute set. It's actually about living life in community with each other and growing.
I love that. It just hearing you talk about the way that you invest in your team just shows a level of authenticity that I think probably translates to the entire church when they are being led by you.
It's
worship,
true.
That we are co-participants.
Yes.
And that you are completely invested in.
Here's the thing, we're never going to be able to compete with whoever is on Broadway with the Bruno Mars in Las Vegas. That's not even my job. Like, that's not even my intent to sound as good as the record. Not even my intent. My intent is to present to them something that they are longing for, which is community, is to be seen, is to be known, is to be loved. You're not going to get that in Vegas. You're going to get a really good show. But you're not going to actually look into someone's eyes and believe that they actually care about you as an individual. And that is what we are doing from Sunday to Sunday.
I love it. You said, you know, you're not going to sound as good as Broadway.
We're not.
But I'm from Nashville, and I can guarantee you, you sound better than our Broadway.
That Broadway I can do.
Yeah, you're killing it there. All right, you're slaying it. That place is packing.
Oh, my God.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being here. We just want to give you the opportunity now to just say one word of encouragement on what you hope that this conference and this week, what kind of encouragement can they hopefully walk away with, take back to their church, their teams, their ministries?
I would say this. I would say that nothing that was created outside of God. That's lights, that's sound, that's singing, that's instruments. Things have been co-opted by other entities that I will not name, but they all belong to God because God is the orchestrator of everything that was ever made. And so I believe our job at the church is to take those things back, to own them, to get good at them, to hone our skills, to put in the time and the effort into the actual music, but also into the people that are behind the music. I think we can do both, and I think we can do it very well.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, thank you so much for
being here. Thank you, Keith.
And it's been a pleasure to meet you.
Yes, same.
Officially a friend of Salt.
Yes, I'm official.
I love hearing from Sarah. She's amazing. I love that interview with her and Keith. I think, again, her workshop was awesome. I have gone back and listened to the replay and just learned so much. I'm not even a worship leader, so I love that. But I want to thank everyone for joining us today for the Monochrome Podcast. Again, whether you're here listening for the first time or you've been listening for a while to the season, please subscribe. It is so important that this pops up quickly for you, and you have to click around a lot to go find us and search us every single time. And we want you here for future episodes that are going to be just astounding and wonderful. Also, don't forget, everything we've talked about today is in our show notes, whether it's resources, links to things, info about Sarah, our guest, and then, of course, our podcast feedback form, all in the show notes. Go check them out. And if you could, please do subscribe. I already said that. But once you subscribe, give us a 5-star rating. It doesn't yes. only help us get our podcast out there more, but it helps people know that we are endorsed and you think that we are worthwhile listening to, and maybe we're offering some helpful advice. So those 5-star ratings help others know that this is a great place to go for some resources as they're learning and growing and working in their local church too. All right, next week, guys, is going to be awesome with Jason Stafford. I know I mentioned it at the top of the episode, but he is part of some really big films that are out there. And we have been blown away hearing what a first assistant does. And that is like his role on a lot of these films. And you hear assistant and you think, oh, that's kind of a small, like assistants don't do much. It's not a title, you know, that people get excited about. But that's only because you haven't learned what a first assistant does in these roles. Once you know, you're like, wow, they make the film pretty much. I don't want to spoil anything, but it was just mind-blowing what we learned from him. So be sure to tune in next week. JT, you going to be there?
I'll be there. Yes.
I'll be there. I'll be listening in. It's going to be for great. Sure. Yeah.
I got to listen to the interview, so I already know what he's talking about. So it's going to be awesome.
He's already had his mind blown. He knows everything.
Yes. Pre-blown.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you for joining us, and we will see you next week.